Hey, hey, and welcome to Null Pointers. We are your hosts, Stephen.
And Mark.
And today we'll be talking about basically everything.
Sounds great.
Okay, Mark, to start Stephen. Off, I'm having a huge blast of nostalgia. And the reason is that Nintendo,
tell me
you
more.
You know the old Nintendo. They made an app that lets you listen to a lot of the old game music from Nintendo games. So they made like their own little Spotify bubble with exclusively Nintendo content.
So I have to ask, is this like Game Boy, you know, like when it used to be this gray block, and you,
among others,
I think like 4 AA batteries were in there, and it was called the handheld mobile device of the day.
Yes, this great thing.
Because as far as I remember, he's holding up an original Game Boy, ladies and gentlemen.
My own original Game Boy, the one I played when it was all the shits.
Yeah, my brother usually sneaks those off. I think my brother has got a Super Nintendo, a Nintendo 64, and he might even have a Game Boy still lying somewhere around. But I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, so I just remember like the speaker was not the most awesomeness thing, and also I understand why it will invoke nostalgia. I don't see myself listening to it on end the entire day. I might go a bit crazy on that, but I have them.
I mean,
I just like recently I ran out of podcasts to listen in my stream, so I listened to one of my favorite shows that has not had a new episode in quite a while, but it's This Developer's Life, and it's by Scott Hanselman and Rob Connery, and they did once a show where they used retro sounds made on, I think, an Atari Sync or something. So it was, sorry, I'm probably mixing this up. Someone get really mad at me for mixing this up. Terribly sorry about that. But it was like, so they used like these old synth chips in those computers and today and made like new music. And there seems to be a huge community out there that are doing like these music things with these little processors, and they're squeezing out stuff that people didn't think were possible back in the day. So,
very nice.
So, just saying, Stephen, if you're bored.
And okay. I'm not, I'm you're, hardly ever bored, to be yeah. honest. But yeah, but I browsed the collection earlier today, and I saw some Donkey Kong Country, which I played way too much of, and some original Game Boy Kirby type stuff. And I mean, like you said, I won't be listening to that all day, because then I'll probably go mad and I'll hear bleeps in my sleep tonight. But yeah, that's
might be a side effect. Yeah, but
small side effect.
Speaking of blasts from the past, before we go on to bit more relevant stuff, I have for years not bought myself a Raspberry Pi, mainly because I just know myself. I get like super quickly bored with the things, because I'm not one that likes to tinker on end with stuff. I like to do something for a certain goal. And so people that say like, yeah, you know, I ran a web server on my Raspberry Pi and now I tore it down and I'll do something else. I go like, well, why did you do the web server in the first place then, I guess? I mean, I get it. Like, if you're learning stuff, you need computeware. But I mean, these days our laptops are so powerful. I can run a VM in there doing whatever I want, or I can host a VM on the cloud. I don't need to buy something for that. I can just rent something or use stuff that I already have. So that I bought myself a Raspberry Pi lately. And the main reason was I saw some YouTube videos when I didn't have time, but took the time, something like that, you know, when you just get lost on YouTube.
And happens.
So you can install a retro arcade thing on I think it's called RetroPie. And yep. You can then load on games from the past. So I managed to do that. Took me, I think, 2 or 3 evenings to get it all I started life from zero. I had like no clue what I had to do. So I somehow figured it out. And then I installed the RetroPie only to discover like all those cool blog posts. And so they got like this little part where they tell you, well, you still need the ROMs. And the ROMs are like the games. You have to get them on your own. And no one will tell you how to do that because it's a bit of a legal gray area because the ROMs, they're still under copyright. And there have been cases that people were prosecuted because they sold those ROMs on for money. So, yeah, but if you own the game, I think, well, yeah, I'm not a lawyer, but anyhow. So there's a gray area out there. But once you get them on there, you can play your good old games. So I got myself like these controllers that look a bit like the controllers from the Super Nintendo, but they also got like two joysticks on them. And so, yeah, I can now play my good old favorite Mario Kart in all versions. And it's very nice. It's so fun. I mean, the graphics are like super bad. I saw there is like you can download high res images to because otherwise you've got like this pixelated blob in front of you, which is
okay.
It could be better. It could be better. And with that, yeah, it would go on. And I might have made a mistake. I bought myself a Raspberry Pi 4. I think the Pi 5 is like so much better when it comes to graphics. I mean, you can sometimes feel some lag when you got the N64. And yeah, it's just not the same, you know. If you got it's in my childhood memories, there is no lag while playing those good old games.
There probably isn't because the actual console is just, yeah.
But it's I think one of the amazing things was like when you see how large the sizes of those Epic games. I mean, you can get like if you are in Super Nintendo world, you're talking about 2 or 4 megabytes.
Yeah, a few megabytes. Most. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the entire game. All the graphics, everything. I mean, sure. I mean, if you look at the graphics, you go like, well, that does not look super cool. But I mean, I was entertained for hours as a kid from 2 to 4 megabytes. And I mean, these days, if you get a game that's, I think, less than
gigabytes,
a gigabyte, it's probably some text emulation thing that's going on, where you just ask yourself, why is this 250 megabyte? And probably yep. Because there is some Epic font stuff going on in the background. But yeah, that's my blast from the past. And yeah. Looking forward to some togetherness time. The winter time is now here, so more indoor stuff happening. So I'm ready. I'm coming prepared to the next family event. Yeah.
Small caveat for the music thing. You do need to have a Switch Online subscription.
Okay.
So you'll need to own the Switch Online store thingy. But tying into your story, that also comes with Nintendo provided versions of all these old games as well. So you can play your Mario Kart on your Switch, basically. So I'm playing the Mario Kart I grew up with my kids on his Switch and beat his ass, sort of.
Sort of.
He'll beat me soon. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. That's why I hope. That's why certain people they work out just so that they are ahead of their son daughter for many years to come. So maybe you have to work out more on your Nintendo Switch. Mm. You know, tell a wife. I would love to spend more time with you, but I just have to nail this down because I know
it's a little bugger.
It's a ticking time bomb. Yeah, it's totally worth it. Please, trust me. Moving along to more current states. I mean, I know, Stephen, one of the things we never discuss on the show, but we might just drop it here, is you really love when I drop a little time mark in when we're recording.
Oh, no.
Because while we like doing the recording, the editing part sometimes takes a bit longer for us to do because it's somewhat of a grueling process, cutting stuff out, and we try to keep it as real as possible for your listeners, but sometimes we just go too much on a tangent, or we're just too much stumbling over our own words. Exactly. And then we cut it out. And so you get a bit of a better listening experience. But anyhow, so Halloween has just been. And if you haven't done so, dear listener, make sure to check out Stephen's ex-Twitter account, because he has done the most amazing Groot-esque costume. Grotesque, yeah.
Wordplay.
Wordplay. I have seen. It's really awesome. I don't know how you get the inspiration or the skills to do something like that, but that looked epic, Stephen. Just a little shout out here.
Thank you. I'll post I don't think I posted an actual picture from Halloween with me wearing the thing.
I haven't some of it over it.
Soonish.
And I've recently spread out, so I've been on X Twitter for ages, and it just got a bit crazy over the last few weeks. The craziness has just now reached a level where I've installed now multiple other social platform apps, and giving them a whirl and a spin. And I must say, like, some are like so nice, fresh, and friendly. You know, like you wake up in the morning and people go like, "Oh, it's today, and I already had my coffee, and I'm feeling really happy to do da di da." And you're like, I haven't seen something like that in ages on Twitter, where someone is just like, I don't know, happy about the day, moving along, and not like, please, something horrible post here, and then a lot of horrible answers, and you just go like, oh my god. So yeah, I'm spreading out my feathers. So now I'm Blue Sky, Threads, the Facebook thing, someone likes Twitter, LinkedIn, of course, but I think it's like, LinkedIn for casual social exchange is just a bit weird. I mean,
yeah,
sure, showing stuff off, showing off for work stuff. I mean, that's totally LinkedIn territory, but other stuff, I don't see that on there.
It's yeah, really weird socializing on LinkedIn. Like there is, I got a message the other day, and it was like, "Hey, nice to meet you." Blah blah blah. How long have you been active in the field? I'm like, you're on LinkedIn. If there's one thing this thing is good at, it's telling you how long and where I've been doing something. It's like, God, jeez.
Well, it's that some conversation starters are maybe just not ideal. I don't know which social platform will win out. I'm also on Mastodon, but that's just too complicated. I'm getting old. It's just too complicated. There are too many clients. People are spread out, and I've been informed that my profile is not being set up correctly. And you would think that setting up your profile should be an easy thing.
Should be.
I'm also fighting with Blue Sky to actually upload my social image, because I always remember I should still do that when I'm only on my phone, but I can't upload the Hake format from iPhone as my profile picture on there. Yeah, moving platforms is hard, but I mean, X Twitter is just now at that point where the pain is really enough that I get the motivation to try these things out.
If only other people would, Mark, because I feel like I like Blue Sky, but it's just a bit quiet.
It depends. I mean, some people are on there. I mean, I have seen, I mean, Gerald, of course, is on all the socials.
I see that guy more than enough. I want to see other people.
In the real socials. No, but but I'm just saying, like, it's Gerald's there. There's also some other people wandering over there. So, yeah, for me, Blue Sky is, like, easy enough to set up. The app looks clean, and there's no doomed company behind it that is known for sucking out all your social information. So I guess down the line we will get that information about Blue Sky, because I mean they will have to turn a profit on something. But yeah, it's still a bit easy times, light times. And to be honest, I don't mind the easy and light times that are still happening on some of those newer platforms. So breaking change.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. So there is, apart from that, there is a lot of news that lately came out since we last did a recording. I mean, we could talk maybe about new hardware from Apple, but since we're both still sponsoring old hardware from Apple, we could just tell you that the new Mac Mini is super small, looks super fancy, and that, thank God, it's still in silver, or you might mix it up with your Apple TV. So I think that's like just that.
Luckily, you only have to flip it over to turn it off.
Well, whoever turns off their Mac. I mean, that's been a thing with Macs for ages. I mean, I remember like on the iMacs or the original Mac Minis, like the Intel ones, when they came out, it was like on the back. And I remember like people like saying, okay, I'll try out this Mac thing. And they didn't find how to turn it on because the power button is too usually hard. Hidden. It's just, I think people are just used to laptops, and you just have like the power button is just like whichever key you hit.
True.
But yeah, that was funny. That's like classic Apple. Also that they cannot like create a new button on their iPhone and call it a button. They call it something else. I've seen a YouTube interview where a guy was like at the event and he interviewed them and he said like, so this fancy new slider thingy, whatever. So that button, isn't it just a button? And the guy would not once say the word button. He went out of his way to, again, say the proper marketing one. That is
magic touchy thing.
Magic touchy thing, scrolly, whatever you need. And it's like out of glass, hybrid, vibranium, super awesomeness thing. So, yeah.
And it comes in rose gold. Most likely.
I must say, it looks rose gold is fancy.
I don't know.
At least my wife thinks it's very fancy. So, yeah. But moving along. So, I mean, we got the hardware stuff that has to be new, but there's also .NET 9, which is pretty much around the corner since I've dropped the timeline. So probably by the time this show airs, we will be able to see the final products.
We might be in .NET 9 world.
In our virtual hands. I've been playing around more and more with it. There are some really nice changes, but I've recently saw there are also some breaking changes that will be coming along with .NET 9, and not just anywhere, but also in our beloved .NET MAUI framework. There seems to be some things that are going away. Have you heard of them, Steven?
The most important one, the thing that I used to base my pancake view on, the frame.
It's gone.
It is still there, but it's soon to be no more.
Deprecated
is what that would be indeed. So they released Border, I think, somewhere near the beginning of MAUI already. I think. I'm not even quite sure. But that basically does all the things that you'd want your frame to do as well. Frame has been old, has defaults that make no sense. For example, it already comes with a built-in shadow. It already comes in with all sorts of padding. So typically what I would do is make a style that resets all that backed-in junk, basically, and then style them further. But on the other hand, I can also fully imagine that people like that kind of stuff, where it's just a simple control that already has a bit of styling and a bit of stuff in it. So it's a bit like... There's two thoughts to that, and I'm of the let me do it, and probably other people's are not of that thought process. Someone like you, I would imagine, likes having some built-in styling without doing too much effort.
I do not mind sharing an opinion with someone when it comes to style. Yes, that's totally true. I think I've been reading through it. It's like you get... I think like if you're really into UI design, the changes make total sense. Plus, they've been there for a while, and being able to like separate those and have a more fine-grained way how you can do them, that has always been a really nice thing to do. And I mean, speaking of like pre-arranged stuff, like a little side tangent, maybe like there has been a quite a big announcement in our space that Telerik now has provided open source content that you can use. So it's free and open source, and they are will be more controls coming along. I think right now it's about 15 at the time we're recording this. I just like if you like a tool vendor, or if you like into these UI framework things, I think you really appreciate that you get more power, because that means you can then make these controls that other people like me that are maybe not quite as sophisticated with these things, they can then take something and drop it in and it will look good. And not like, why would you ever want to do that? Which is usually one question I sometimes get when I have a go at some design. So yeah, generally speaking, I mean, that's like one way how I see it. Like when you get more control, I mean, sure, you will then have to be able to use that power, control the power. With great power comes great responsibility. Line drop thing here.
But, very nice.
Yeah, but for me, it makes total sense. And I mean, yeah, it's probably a bit more effort, but I would also think that we have a community that's active. There is a community toolkit for Maui. I'm pretty sure that there will be like some basic designs popping up that will be reusable that you can then take and you can tweak them. And for some of us, that might be already enough. And for others, it's like, well, you know, that's cute, but get out of my way. I know what I'm doing. So I think that's really nice. Another thing that seems to be going away or fading away is the compatibility layouts. So we transitioned, or if you still got a Xamarin app out there, the reminder stands, you probably want to migrate it unless you
yep.
do not have to publish to schools. It seems like there will be a, the apps will be deprecated by the end of the, by springtime sometime next year, because usually that's like the time frame that the store said no more. So that breaking change will break your neck if you're still on Xamarin. Though I have heard that the community has found a way to compile Xamarin apps against Xcode 16. That's though not officially supported, and I don't know how long that thing was to last. I'm just saying you might want to transition. And there were some layouts or some controls that were no longer supported in the Maui space, and for that you had this compatibility view. But it seems like the grace period, like if you moved over to Maui and you just did not finish off your migration, it's now like the reminder, like you might really want to clean up that UI so it will be running smoothly on a Maui too, which totally makes sense. I mean, a lot of the Maui UI changes, they're targeted towards performance. So if you are still using the older stuff, you will not benefit, or you will not reap the benefits from those performance gains. And also, if you look at the improvements that are going on with .NET MAUI in the future, like creating smaller app bundles, or like having linking stuff, like literally throwing stuff out of your app package that's not needed, usually also means the code has to be written in a certain way so that the optimizer will not throw out code that is actually needed. And maintaining these legacy things will probably not be the case. So I'm just guessing this is also to prevent a larger onslaught of bugs popping up because some compatibility thing is not working with one of these cool new features. So yeah, but that is, I think for many, this is like, yeah, if you have been slacking, it's like, yeah, I know, I should do it. And now you just get like a really power reminder. Time. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of those is relative layout, which I honestly cannot remember ever using it. Like most of the stuff that I do, I manage to do with grids, stack layouts, and flex layouts from time to time. Relative layout. Hardly ever used it, if at all. Same goes for absolute layout, which I don't think is necessarily in this compatibility thing. Not quite sure on that. Might have to check. But I know relative layout is. And another thing that is more internal, I think, is the way that Maui, under the hood, measures how big a control should be on your screen. I think they also changed around some of that code. Where they used to use an old method, and now that old method is going out, and you need to use the new override. That's mainly if you're building your own controls and you need to measure stuff of how that control is laid out on the screen. That is also changing around a bit. For me, not really that interesting. Typically, as I said, I mostly manage to do what I want to do with the existing layouts. But yeah, if you're a control vendor, like you said, the guys making the new controls, for them, it's probably very interesting to at least get their code up to speed with that. And I think the other one we also talked about in a previous pod, that main page was going away, and now it's
really going away. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, main page. So, we touched up on that in a previous episode. So, for everybody that's missed it or has got the memory that I have of a goldfish, you used to have a main page that was used for whatever you were doing, and knew they will be people use Windows. It pretty much the same. So under the hood, it already did this. It already created like for your main page or window. But since we are now in a time where we can write with .ml, we can write desktop apps or also like apps for operating systems. Like I think every tablet operating system and a lot of the phones, you can have more than one window per app open. So I know I can do this on my iPad. I can open up a browser more than once and have it like side by side, which can be quite neat in certain scenarios. And if your app could profit from those experiences, you can now implement that. And for that, we're moving away from one main page to multiple windows, which is, I think, not that a jarring change. It will be a very quick fix to change it, and at some point you just have to do it if you want to really do this, or otherwise it will get, I think, quite complicated. So I totally get that one. And another one that I saw that is popping up, which I have never used, to be honest, that might show where I spent my time when writing apps, is the measure calls. So you could call how big something will be. You could call up how, like, if you got a width or a height constraint, you would then get the size request on that. And that is now another one. It's called now measure, no longer on measure. And you can pass in, apart from the height and width request, you can now also pass in some flags. So I guess that's neat. I think you can even call it without. But yeah, anyhow. So there seems to be like the size request, and which is now also deprecated, and you get a size. So yeah, you touched on that before. So I think this has to do with how the size is calculated for a view element before it's getting rendered. That seems to be something that's now breaking. To be fair, a lot of these things are deprecated. So deprecated does not mean they will break instantly once you upgrade to .NET 9. It usually just means your compiler will be not so happy with you, shouting warnings at you because you're using deprecated stuff. And you got time. So this will not be that you will not be slapped in the face super soon, but it's just like, if you like to have a clean build, you can then go along and fix those. And as far as I can see, I mean, I think the largest one is if you have heavily invested in customizing UI with frames, that will be some time that you will have to invest to migrate it over. And of course, if you have been laying off on migrating your Xamarin views to a .NET MAUI view, or like if you have been using some of the older layout controls like relative layout, because I remember using relative layout when I did Xamarin iOS back in the days, like not Xamarin Forms but Xamarin iOS, because iOS had this relative thing where you just like said, yeah, I'm spaced this much from that control and everything, and it would then somehow render itself. But in Xamarin Forms, I've never used it, but I think those will be like the painful parts to migrate away from, or that will take some time. But the other ones seem to be quite small to do, I would guess. But yeah.
Yeah. And I think the, like you said, it won't be going away immediately. But you've been informed. So at some point, without further notice, it just might stop working, which is not something you want in a production scenario. So it's best to just go for it and change.
Yeah. Plus, I would be wondering if the .NET update migration system would help you along with that. I think that might be something to try out, because you can, like, there's like, when you migrated away maybe from .NET Framework, or also like if you migrate from Xamarin Forms to .NET MAUI, there's the .NET Upgrade Assistant that will do some of the lifting for you. And you could also, if you've got an old .NET Framework application, when you migrate that to a newer .NET version, you can also use that. But you can also use the migration framework to go from an older .NET version to a newer one. So might be worth checking out. I haven't done so, to be honest, yet, because a lot of the apps that I've written now for .NET 9 are little play thingy apps and nothing serious. I'm sure that would be quite interesting. But yeah, I mean, breaking changes, they're never fun. Usually, whenever I write code, I try to really heavily avoid them, or just like, yeah, maybe leave them there or not in or out. But there is, some, I know there are some, I have spoken to people that have got the opinion that you should never, ever introduce breaking changes with what you're doing. But yeah, it's hard to stay on absolutes. So I think it's, you always have to make these decisions, but whenever you break something, people get upset. So you will probably have to expect that. And there is something to be said. I mean, I've inherited projects that were like 10 years old, and I then had to upgrade them to a newer version because they would no longer run on Windows or something. And if you can just like upgrade everything to a newer version and it still works, I mean, that's so neat, because no one wants to mingle around with 10 years old code, like, because people are just like, this is broken, fix it. And no one wants to hear like, yeah, I know, I could rewrite this in 2 weeks and it would be super cool. They're like, I don't care, I just want it now. So just fix it. For those ungrateful moments, I'm always very happy to just like not have to deal with breaking changes. I recently had a library where I was doing something small, and they have moved around the entire framework. It's like, it still does the same thing. They just have changed the entire API, and like everything is like deprecated and no longer working, but it still does the same thing. And I just go like, why? Why would you do that to me? Why? I mean, I know it's open source. It's someone's hobby. It's your thing. You can do what you want. But I'm just saying, you do not make everybody happy by just moving stuff around, especially if there is not a lot of benefit to be seen from a certain, you know, like it maybe make something easier. But then I think like, well, you could, why not just provide both then? Because anyhow, yeah. Changes, yeah. Changes. I'm telling you, once you get older, changes are getting harder. No, I'm just kidding. I like new stuff. I can't wait to update my stuff to .NET 9.
Everything.
And reap the benefits.
You were just asking me, can I upgrade my command line tools?
But that's a lesson learned from a previous episode that I've told you, where I just updated everything. And now I saw, like, I don't know why, but I think Apple now has stuffed the Xcode command line tools into the system updates. So I don't download my Xcode from the App Store. Uh-huh. I download it separately so I can control that. But the command line tools seem to be updated now differently. Okay. And I'm scared that it'll break against something, because I got a demo coming up by the end of November. And you can't downgrade, or like downgrading is like nuking your entire machine and setting it up again. That's not that. I'm sorry. That's too much commitment for me. So I'm just trying to find some issue on the GitHubs that, and if that doesn't pop up for a while, I think it's safe. It probably is safe. I probably should show it. Just do it. Just. I mean, what could go wrong, Stephen?
We'll hear your complaints in the next pod. I'm sure of it.
Let's go.
On that bombshell, we'll see if Mark nukes his machine in the next episode. We've been your hosts, Stephen Davison.
And Mark Halliburton.
Don't forget to follow us on all the socials. They're somewhere in the show notes. Also, click that notification button, bell, follow thing in every podcast app that you own. And we'll see you next time.
Clicking update now.
Dun, dun, dun.